Support comes from Red Stag Supper Club, featuring weekly live music and a late-night happy hour, serving brunch, lunch, dinner, and late night 7 days a week, focusing on locally farmed ingredients. RedStagSupperClub.com.
Life's like a million a soda, and life's like space without room.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, I Never Metaphor I Didn't Like.
Life's forever dealing in dirt. Now life's like...
This week on Grammar Grader, we're going to be exploring two literary devices, metaphor and simile. And to help us do that, we're welcoming Dr. Marty Grothy, the author of a new book called I Never Metaphor I Didn't Like. Welcome to Grammar Grader, Marty.
Hey, thank you, Luke. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the book is subtitled A Comprehensive Compilation of History's Greatest Analogies, Metaphors, and Similes. How do you think of these literary devices?
First of all, they're close cousins. Whenever people try to describe one thing by relating it to something else, they're engaging in metaphorical thinking.
For the purposes of our episode this week, we'll just focus on metaphor and simile. How do you explain the difference between those two literary devices?
A metaphor, to start, is when we say something is something else. So take the concept of life. When people say life is a journey, or life is a cabaret, or you know, life is a bowl of cherries, that's a metaphor. To turn a metaphor into a simile, we just add words like or as. If we said life is like a box of chocolates, then that would make it a simile. And in each case, what we're trying to do is to explain something by relating it to something else, you know, hoping to give the listener or the person to whom we're communicating a better idea of what this concept is that we're trying to describe.
Can you describe a good example of metaphor?
Truman Capote said, life is a moderately good play with a badly written third act. And, you know, the basic notion here is he's trying to explain what life is, but he's trying to relate it in a very special way to the world of theater, where we have an act one, an act two, and an act three. And it's a nice way of talking about what happens towards the end of our life.
Okay. How about a simile?
Isaac Asimov, one of the greatest American writers, far more than just a science fiction writer, you know, once said, life is a journey, but don't worry, you'll find a parking spot at the end. That's got a nice little twist to it. Charles Schulz, the Charlie Brown author, he said, life is like a 10-speed bicycle. Most of us have gears we never use. Schulz could have said, we don't live up to our potential, right? I mean, that's the message. But see, that would have been boring. What he was trying to do there was what all great writers are trying to do, and that's to take ideas and elevate them so that they become memorable or even unforgettable.
Now, there are some people who argue that metaphors are somehow better than similes, that metaphors are a higher art form. How do you react to that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely describing a reality, and one of the reasons that's true is that Aristotle, who's really one of the first guys to talk about metaphorical language, in fact, Aristotle said that there are some people in the world who have what he called a keen eye for resemblance. And what he meant by that is they're able to notice a connection between two things or two domains that other people just don't see. And so he loved metaphors and actually said that they were superior to similes. And for some reason, I think intellectual types have kind of just slavishly followed his example for a long, long, long time. I think another reason, though, is that so many similes have become part of popular language that they become hackneyed cliches. So when we teach children similes, we teach them things like, you know, happy as a clam or thin as a rail or those kinds of old, pretty unexciting similes. And so along the way, I think people began to say that metaphorical language was more sophisticated than language which employed similes. But I'll tell you, in my view, there's no intrinsic difference between the quality of the two. There are great metaphors and great similes, and then occasionally there are some pretty crappy metaphors and similes as well.
Okay, well, you've clearly gathered what you think are some unforgettable metaphors and similes, and in the book you describe yourself as someone who collects quotations the way other people collect coins, stamps, or butterflies.
I'm an absolute quotation addict, and I've been collecting them for years and years and years and years, and I now have written 5 books that are essentially all collections of quotations. And thank goodness, people seem to be interested in these books. Rudyard Kipling said, "Words are the most powerful drug used by mankind." Now, that's a metaphor. He's saying that words are a drug, but it's a lovely metaphorical quote that describes, I think, you know, just exactly how powerful words and language are.
Well, and speaking of powerful language, you've talked about how there's a practical use for a collection like this.
If you're giving a speech or if you're a supervisor and you're trying to make a point to an employee, sometimes the worst thing that you can do is to offer your own opinion. But if you've got a bunch of quotations sort of locked away in the back of your mind that you can bring to the topic at hand, these can help you make some of the most important points that need to be made in any conversation.
And what about people who might want to try creating their own metaphors?
I think any reader who is interested in writing more effectively or speaking more effectively is going to have their thinking stimulated by just an exposure to some of the great metaphors and some of the great metaphorical language that's ever been authored.
Well, your love for these examples of metaphorical thinking is pretty obvious.
Most of these quotes are like a good wine, or they're like a really rich chocolate. They deserve to be savored.
Thanks for joining us, Marty.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Marty Grothy is the author of the book, I Never Metaphor I Didn't Like. He also distributes a free weekly e-newsletter containing more quotations and metaphorical thoughts. You can learn more about that at his website, drmardy.com. We'll also post that link to the Grammar Grader homepage. This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Our producer is Brett Baldwin. Executive producer is John Pearson. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you like Grammar Grader, participate in the discussion, give feedback, and share your thoughts at grammargrader.gather.com. You're the funny little frog in my throat.